Good morning. Something I've been wanting to talk about with some of you for a long time. You need help. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that we can look to you and know that you love us. And I pray that you bless this time. Lord, bring to my mind what you want of the things I've looked at and know and can express. Make it truthful. Make it what we need. And I ask you to minister to the ears that hear as well, that they would hear what needs heard. And again, what would bring glory to you. We love you, Lord, and we pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm speaking to myself, of course, as well, that you need help. And we're going to look at Psalm 121 today. So if you would turn there. Lovely little psalm. No great big crashing around or anything maybe spectacular hanging here. But wonderful little psalm. And one that I used to love to sing when I was first saved. Psalm 121. It's a lovely poem. It's a song of ascents, and we don't know exactly what that means. There's lots of theories from Psalm 120 to 134. There is 15 psalms that are called a song of ascents. Some say that it was, and I think most likely perhaps, the pilgrims going up to Jerusalem. And so they would sing songs as they go, as they ascend up to Jerusalem. Some say that there were 15 steps going from the women's court to the men's court. And there, so you sang a psalm on each step. I don't know. And we don't know, really. It could have been a song sung in captivity by the Jews in Babylonia. Could have been. We don't know. But we know it's Scripture, and we know it's beautiful, and God's going to perhaps use it in our hearts today. So that's the Song of Ascents. To make it a little bit bigger, I was just not amazed, but interested to find out how beautiful poetry it is and how it's kept that even through languages. Just imagine pilgrims, we'll go with that one, pilgrims going to Jerusalem, and you have one group singing out the first verse or perhaps the first two verses, and then the next group would sing back to them. They call it antiphonal singing, which we don't do a lot of here. We're going to read it. I will lift up mine eyes to the mountains. Hard to not sing it, actually, but I'll spare you. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. As a young guy recently saved, I was learning the guitar, and it's an easy one to play. And I just love playing it. Remember after my baptism, we sang that song, and just, wow, it was a fun, still is a fun psalm. So the first thing we see, once we get caught up here, is I. So it's a personal psalm. It's man serving God, longing for God, either going to Jerusalem or perhaps thinking about Jerusalem from captivity, but it's I. Now that's the only incidence of the word I in there. So it changes a little bit. It's speaker. That's the only place the first person pronoun is used. Dwayne, stop it. Don't give him the chart in Spanish. They don't want it. I just love charts. But anyway, but then especially starting at verse 3, it's all about the Lord. It's all about... Ron, do you want the chart? Can I do that? Maybe later? Okay. He looked a little bit disappointed that he wasn't going to get the chart. It's a big moment in Spanish 1 when I give them the chart of charts. Kind of like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and this is the chart of all the charts. Never mind. But anyway, so we have I. And it's something that the speaker either is doing as I lift my eyes or it's I will lift my eyes. And it's the ancient equivalent of saying, pay attention. Wake up. Pay attention. I will lift up my eyes. Now this is something, brother, sister, visitor, that you have to do. There's things that we can't help you with. We can only maybe show or tell, but there's things you have to do. I will lift up my eyes. Nobody can make you do it. The Lord told Abraham in Genesis 13, after Lot had separated from him, He said, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and so forth. Look, Abraham, look. Open your eyes. See what I'm going to do for you. Look up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Look. Look up." In Genesis 15, He took him outside, and He didn't say the exact words, "Now lift up your eyes." But if you can imagine walking along, perhaps walking to Jerusalem, your eyes are on the trail in front of you, you're walking. Normally we don't walk looking up. Perhaps good for some of us, with less coordination than others of us. Nonetheless, at times we have to look up, make a decision, to look up, to focus on what's important, on the eternal. And He took him outside and He said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars if you're able to count them." And He said, "So shall your descendants be." In Psalm 123, verse 1, he's right on the next page in my Bible anyway, it says, "To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens." Our psalm says, "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains." But it's clear he's talking about the Lord. And the psalm is just about the Lord, the King, the Creator. It's a personal thing. It's not to some vague God or some deity or some principle or something. But he says, "To you," Psalm 123, "I lift up my eyes." The tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, "God be merciful to me, the sinner." In John 4:35, the Lord Jesus said, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes to the fields, that they're white for harvest." So the first thought is, where are your eyes? Where are your eyes? My dad came down to visit us in Lima when we were down there. It was Ian's first birthday, just to give you an idea of how long ago that was. And it meant a great deal to us, one of my best memories of my dad. And we were downtown in Miraflores, if you've ever been to Lima. And so there we were, I was running errands, and Dad was just going around with me, you know. We're trying not to get mugged and do our thing. And he had never seen the Pacific Ocean, and I didn't tell him. That's what the whole goal was, because there's a place where you walk around this little plaza, and then all of a sudden the ocean's there. And so we kept walking and walking, and I'm talking with Dad, and he's beside me, and we're walking around. And finally, I couldn't stand it. I said, "Dad, look up." And he did, and he saw the ocean. And he said, "Oh." And I said, "Yeah." It was cool. Lift up your eyes. "Dad, look." The ocean had been there the whole time, but he didn't see it because he wasn't looking up. We get caught up in this life, and we don't lift up our eyes. We don't. We forget, don't we? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We do not lose heart. 4:16. "But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Are you looking at the unseen? Help comes to us believers only from above. Lift up your eyes. Let us lift up our eyes and look with hope, look with expectation. Lift up our eyes to the mountains, really not so much to the mountains, but to the Lord. He's not talking about worshiping a mountain. He's talking about Jerusalem, going to Jerusalem. That's where God's presence was. And Mount Zion. But he was looking really to the Lord. Lift up your eyes. And as he does that, and he's walking, and perhaps the path is dangerous, and there's rocks and there's boulders, and if you fall, it's not like you call 911 and get help. You might die because you might fall off the path. To be incapacitated in those days, very serious thing indeed. Maybe you'd never heal right again. I'll lift up my eyes. Where shall my help come from? Where shall my help come from? And obviously the answer and the whole rest of the psalm is about my help comes. Whoops, getting ahead of myself. Where is my help going to come from? And that's a question for you as well, brother, sister. Where does your help come from? Some boast in chariots and some boast in horses. But we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 20. Psalm 33, 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and make flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Wow, strong words. Isaiah 31:1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, and rely on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. But the psalmist, as he makes his pilgrimage, and we can take that, I think, very safely, as we make our way through life, that we need to be looking to the Lord. We need to keep looking to the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. So we don't look to others literally for help. Others can help. Parents can help. But every other help will disappoint you at some point. Have you thought about that? Parents, for our kids, we help them, we love them, we pour out our lives for them, we do all these things that they will never remember that we did for them. Some of you nodding your heads have no idea, just let me tell you. But that's the way it is. That's what was done for us, most of us. They don't know. But yet, you can't protect them from all everything. You can't protect them from all evil, which this psalm says. Where does my help come from? The only helper that does not disappoint. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The one who made heaven and earth. The solution is the Creator. There's a multitude of places you can go for help, and we see those around us doing it. They go to money for help. They go to wisdom for help. Their lives are based on what others think. Can you say, my help comes from the Lord? Of course He provides money. Of course He provides wisdom. Of course He provides others. But ultimately, to who are you looking for help? To who are you looking for help? Ultimately. Because if He made heaven and earth and the universe, well, I can trust Him with my life, I guess. Not too big of a deal for God. He's not worried about that. We keep that in perspective. He made heaven and earth, and heaven and earth. That's a fun study. Just the words heaven and earth. That's a fun study. Lots of little mini studies contained in here. He made heaven and earth. That's how the Bible starts out. Genesis 1, and that's how the Bible finishes in Revelation. Heaven and earth. And a new heaven, a new earth. And if He did that, then doesn't it make sense that we could look to Him and He would help us? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And from this point on, it's all about God. Verses 3 through 8. He just looks at where he's going. He realizes he needs help. He looks to God, and it's all about God. It's just wonderful. Just the way the perspective changes. It's wonderful. Have you ever thought... Don't go too fast with that one. We've all thought. Everybody who agrees God will help, raise your hand. Okay, those of you who are not awake, your names have been noted. And we will be visiting with you later. Have you ever thought about what God will help you with? What will God help you with? He helps. Yes, we know that. What does He help you with? Is God going to help you to sin? Of course not. Is God going to help you do wrong things? Of course not. Is God going to help you depend on something else other than Him? Of course not. What will God help you to do? Will God help you live a mediocre Christian life? And the answer is no. He's not interested in helping with that. Have you thought about how God will help you? In what way will He help you? We often, and I often, we kind of want a God who helps me find my keys when I lose them, or just little things. We want little interventions. And that's okay. God does that. But that's not the main story. God does not mainly want to help us find our keys. My help comes from the Lord, but what kind of help? The help is living for Him. The help is not piling up stuff. He's not going to help us to pile up stuff. He's not going to help us be selfish. He's not going to... multitudes of things He's not going to help us do. But He will help us live for Him. John 14. If you would turn there. John 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. What's the Holy Spirit's job? How does God help us? He helps us understand the Scriptures. He helps us hate sin. He helps us pour out our lives for others. He helps us give up our time. He helps us with the spiritual things is what God is, I think, predominantly interested in. Verse 26 of John 14. 25, excuse me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Where will my help come from? And the answer is from the Lord. The Lord who made the heavens and the earth and who deigns to live inside us. And the rest of the psalm is reasons why we should trust Him. Why? And in what way will He help us? And notice again that he is so caught up in describing God. And that's what happens when we truly look to Him, is we get so caught up in Him that our problems really aren't that big of a deal. They're not the focus anymore. I'm preaching at me. So there's a change of speakers, or a change of who we're speaking to here. Actually, there is a change of speakers. Psalm 21. It's not I, now it's talking about He. And the first thing we notice is that He will not allow your foot to slip. Very easily put into the psalm here. He's not going to let you fall off the mountain. Psalm 73, verse 2. Surely God is good. Good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. In Jude 1:24 it says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling," and He is, He's able to keep us from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory with great joy. Isn't it implied here that we need help from stumbling? That we may stumble. That we may be close to stumbling. We're only one step from stumbling. We need help to not stumble. He will not allow your foot to slip if you're following Him. If your focus is on Him, He won't allow your foot to slip. He will not, says the Bible. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. I was amazed when I found out that my parents slept. I remember very clearly the day I found out my parents slept because I had an earache. And I was probably 4 years old, maybe. And man, it hurt. And the more I thought about it, of course, the more it hurt. And of course, I'm making it worse for myself, but it was, what, 2 a.m, 3 a.m. I'd never been up at 2. I didn't know there was a 2 a.m. I mean, that's scary too. And they weren't there. They were sleeping. What a concept. They weren't there to serve me. They were sleeping. He who keeps you will not slumber. 2 a.m, 3 a.m. Sleep is something we all need. We all need to sleep. Your best friend needs to sleep. The one who loves you the most, your parents, your spouse, they need to sleep. Now you can wake them up and they might help you. They might not help you, depending. But he who keeps you will not slumber. And here we come into the theme of the psalm. He who keeps Israel. Notice, he who keeps you, first of all, he keeps you individually. Does he care about you individually? Yes. Does he keep you individually? Yes. And the word keep here is a pretty ferocious word. It means guard. It's like a bulldog or some sort of fierce dog. It's a dog. It's guarding. Observe, heed, preserve, beware, a watchman. To keep, to guard, to observe, to have charge of. He who keeps Israel, he who keeps the universe, first of all, he who keeps you, he keeps you individually. But he also keeps the world. You see, macro, mini, right? He's got it all under control. He who keeps you, and this is the word that's repeated through the song, he who keeps you. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord will protect you. It's the same word. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in. It's the same word. It's the same thing. We're looking to the Lord, and the assurance is, and the theme of the psalm is, you need help, but He's going to keep you. It's not that He's going to bring your life to the point where you don't need help. You see, that's what I want, and that's what you want. We want to get to the point where we don't need any help, where everything is okay. No, is the answer to that one. No. But He does keep. And He goes on to show the personalness. He who keeps you, He who keeps Israel, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord will protect. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard. Do you see how personal it is? And my question is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's my question. He is the keeper. Not the church, not the people in this room, not some doctrine, not some, but it is. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" And he said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Wow. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. But Isaiah 26:3, the steadfast of mind, you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. He will keep. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. No naps, no cat naps, no, he's there. The Lord is your keeper. It repeats it again. In case we don't get it here, it says if your Bible repeats it once or twice, if it repeats it twice, we ought to pay attention. That's the Bible study methods thing. If you see the word or the theme repeated twice, we ought to pay attention. We ought to pay attention anyway, right? But if he repeats it six times in eight verses, we really ought to pay attention. He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade. It's intimate. It's a shade. It's protection. The sun, a burning hot sun. Yes, even worse than Kansas in the summertime. Yes, even worse. And in replies, relief, the song we sing, the shadow of a mighty rock in a thirsty land. The sun, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. As powerful as the sun is, as, what other word is there? As oppressive, as whatever as the sun is, it won't smite you by day, nor the moon by night. I love, in the psalm, among many other things, I love the just all the definite things. It says it. It doesn't say maybe. It says it will or it will not. The Lord will protect you. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Just as scary at nighttime as it was at daytime. He will protect you from all evil. The very thing that parents so badly want to do and can't. We can't protect them from all evil. And if you do, if you could, you'd ruin them. But the Lord will. And He won't ruin you. He will protect you from all evil. No ifs, ands, or buts. No whatever. It means He will protect you from all evil. Have there been people put to the stake? Of course. Have there been people killed for their belief? Of course. But He was protecting them from all evil. He was protecting them. Perhaps He was protecting them by calling them home to be with Him. There's a lot we don't know, isn't there? No matter what, He will protect you. It doesn't mean there's not bad. It doesn't mean there's not evil. It doesn't mean that evil doesn't affect us. It doesn't say it doesn't affect us. But Paul had the assurance at the end of his life, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The last words of the Apostle Paul. Nothing happens to us apart from God's permissive will. No random accidents. No, oops, God wasn't watching. No tragedies that He didn't know about. He's not the author of suffering and death and sickness. It wasn't His idea, but He overrules it. He harnesses it. He uses it. He's big enough to do that. We don't understand. The Lord will protect you from all evil. It doesn't say from all harm. It doesn't mean you won't get hurt. But He will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. He will preserve, some versions say. The souls are mine, says the Lord God, and it's the truth. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out. Some of you in this room, going out into the grand adventure of marriage, newly started. The Lord will guard that. Some of us coming in, closer to this, to the finishing sign, but it's the same Lord, guarding the going out, guarding the coming in, guarding, protecting from evil. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in. from this time forth and forever. Where have your eyes been this last week? Who are you looking at? Do you see the unseen? Do you recognize the insufficiency of human help? Our friends, our family, those who love us, those who've gone before us in the faith, they can't give us all the help that we need. They can't. Our needs are so great, our needs are so deep, that we can't get our help from human sources. Do you see the unseen? Do you walk, one author said, do I walk in the light of the unseen? Wow. Where does your help come from? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? And do you know that you're as much in need of Him today as you were the very first day you met Him? Boy, I've been reminded of that. I need Him as much or more today. I'm just as evil and wicked and have all the same tendency as what I ever had. It's there. But I'm looking to the Lord for help. Do you know that you need Him? He will guard the going out, the starting. He will guard the coming in, the ending. From this time forth and forever. And that's what makes it such a happy song, is it's so protected, so safe, so despite all the circumstances. He helps us to live for Him. He does not help us to live for ourselves. Quote, unless absent from the Lord and present in the body, we should not be at ease here, nor at home. Unless our Christianity throws us out of harmony and contentment with the present, it's worth very little. Unless we know something of that immortal longing to be nearer to God and fuller of Christ and free from sense and free from the burdens and trivialities of life, we have yet to learn what the meaning of walking not after the flesh but after the Spirit really means. Do we make any effort like that of this psalmist who encourages and stimulates us by that saying, I will lift up my eyes? You will not do it unless you make an effort. It's easy, it's natural to look at our feet. It is much harder to look up. And so, unless we take up and persevere in maintaining a constant attitude of stirring up and lifting up of ourselves, gravitation will be too much for us. And down will go the head, and down will go the eyes, and down will go the desires. End quote. And I say, and down will go our life as well. We need to know we need help. We do. We just often forget. And so in the worst moment, as you're going through it, the Lord's reminding you, you need help. And so we say, help me. And He does. Father, we worship You this morning. And we thank You, O great helper of mankind. And the great helper of each individual who truly looks to You. No one who believes in the name of the Lord Jesus will be disappointed, says Your word. And we believe it. Thank You for showing us our need of You. Continue to show us our need of You. Lord, we thank You that You help, and we want You to not only help, but to transform us, to make us want what You want, to cause us to love You more. Thank You for Your word, for this time, for these dear people. In Jesus' name.